well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Indeed you are, and heading out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline on a Friday, as we like to do. We chat with our good buddy Doug LaMaurice, Cleveland.com. Doug, thanks for the time, bud. James and I were talking in the last hour, and it was kind of brought up by ESPN playing the 06 National Championship game between Texas and USC, and we were talking about some of the greatest games that we've ever seen in person. When I pose that question to you, and you've seen a boatload of them, what are the games that jump out to you in terms of games you've seen in person?
Well, I did get to cover that Texas-USC championship game. That was my first year covering Ohio State. I was lucky enough. I covered the Ohio State-Notre Dame Fiesta Bowl and then just went to California from Arizona. So that was great. I give this example all the time because it's weird, but I worked in Delaware for 8 years, and there was this huge high school basketball tournament every Christmas. That's this tiny little Delaware high school gym. But every year, the best high school players in the country and the best teams would come there and play. And LeBron James and came with his high school team with St. Vincent St. Mary when he was in high school. And I watched in a regular little tiny high school gym in Delaware, I watched LeBron James lose. And they lost
really?
A guy who went on to be, I can't think of the guy's name. He was a star at Villanova. Jason Frazier was his name. He had knee injuries when he was in college. But it was like a Philly area team against LeBron, and like Jason Frazier went toe to toe with LeBron in like a gym with like 800 people in it. I think it was LeBron's senior year. So like it was at the point where you knew what LeBron was going to be, but you still had this weird opportunity to see him. And I remember there was a local kid who was there to cover it for the local Akron paper, kid by the name of Brian Winhurst that I met for the first time there. So that was like just to see LeBron in that setting. It was the energy in a high school gym. If you can imagine, LeBron's our superstar and they lost. And and Jason Frazier came over and ripped off his jersey and screamed to the crowd at the end of the game, and people were losing their minds. So I've seen a lot of great stuff. I've been very lucky, but I'll never forget that.
Doug, the one thing that comes to mind when I watched or rewatched that national title game is during my time at Ohio State, how good USC and Texas were, and then where they are now. Which program do you think will get back to that level quicker?
Boy, that's a great question. I mean, there's openings for both, right? And there's recruiting for both. And it might be USC. I thought Tom Herman was the right guy for Texas. Was really good at Ohio State. I thought he was smart. I thought he had the right offensive scheme. I thought he was a good recruiter. I thought he was personable. I thought he had the management skills. I thought he was going to hit as a head coach. So, if you still believe in Tom, maybe you say Texas, but maybe I would say USC because, no offense to Clay Helton, I don't know if anybody thinks it's going to be Clay Helton, but if they get the next right guy in there, maybe they flip it quick because there's obviously an opening in the Pac-12. Oregon's getting it going a little bit, but the opportunity is there. And so I might have to say USC, not with this guy, but whoever comes next, because USC, man, I mean, that should be a place where kids are dying to go play. You know, so it's just amazing. We've written about that a lot at Cleveland.com, that Ohio, almost every major program has had a significant lull like that sometime in the past two or three decades. You know, Alabama's has had a lull like that. Michigan's had a lull. And Ohio State really hasn't. And that's one of the more remarkable things about the Ohio State program.
It really is. I mean, you go back to Woody getting hired to now, and there's a season here or there, but there's no stretch. And everybody else who's won a ton has had a stretch. From Oklahoma has had a stretch. Obviously, Alabama. It's a great point that it's almost impervious to a prolonged downturn. And it's interesting because I don't know that Ohio State has the natural resources that some of these other ones do. They have a lot of them. I'm not pretending that they don't. They have a lot of natural resources. But it's mostly just, Doug, don't you think, just being able to identify coaches and hit on him. And the timing of that is pretty remarkable, I think, if you think of everything from Woody past, that by and large, they have identified the correct people to lead the program, and it starts there.
Most people you talk to, and we've talked to a lot of people about this, they say exactly that, guys, that every great program is one bad coaching hire away from falling off a cliff a little bit, right? That Michigan didn't have to go the way it went after Lloyd Carr. Lloyd Carr kept it going pretty well. And then you miss with Rich Rod and look where you go, right? So It's just funny that when you think about Ohio State, you know, 9-3 Earl, like 9-3, that's a bad stretch in Ohio State history. Coop losing to Michigan to screw up 11 win seasons, that's the bad stretch in Ohio State history. And, you know, you get a little bit the end of Coop and then the first year of Tressel, but Tressel turned it so quick, and then what the last 20 years have been, if you're an Ohio State fan, you can think it's impossible for Ohio State to ever get there, but then you look at everybody else and realize it's not impossible for anybody to fall off a cliff for a period of time. And again, it's a credit that Ohio State hasn't done it.
Doug, what are some of the other best college football games you've seen with your own eyes? Obviously, the Rose Bowl out there with USC and Texas, but what are some of the other ones of your time covering the game, that the best that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I'll, you know, the hype and the buildup of the 06 Ohio State-Michigan game, I mean, the passing of Bo right before it, the idea that Ohio State and Michigan are 1-2 right there. You know, the actual game itself was good, was really good. It maybe wasn't, you know, quite the best I've ever seen, but like everything around that went into that. And you think about, you know, what Ohio State football and the Big Ten were right then is remarkable. You know, I thought, not to bring up bad memories, man, but like that 08 Fiesta Bowl against Texas.
That was a great game.
Right at the end with Colt coming down the field and like Ohio State punching back the whole game. Like that was a tremendous game. Like the 2012 Purdue game when Braxton got hurt and Kenny Guyton came in and led the comeback and the 2-point conversion and then win in overtime. Like that's like a, you know, it ends up preserving what ends up being an undefeated season for Ohio State. You know, the Tyvis Powell interception on the 2-point conversion against Michigan at a time when you didn't think Michigan could really rise up against a really good Ohio State team like that. There have been, I mean, think about Ohio State. Ohio State is boring good a lot of the time. When Ohio State is really good, there's about 8 or 9 boring weeks in there where they just beat people by 30. And no Ohio State fans complaining about that. But yet you go back, man, there's at least 1 or 2 a year that you never forget.
Yeah, there certainly is. Doug, I'll get you out of it. Well, yeah, you know, we'll save this for next week because this has been a fun, uplifting show. So we'll stay in the fun, uplifting show. So I'll get you out of here with this. Where are we in the family movie bracket? And where are we at Cleveland.com with the Buckeye bracket?
Yeah, so we moved into the second round in the Buckeye bracket. So we have 32 people remaining. Virtually no upsets in the first round. So now we're getting some really heavy hitter matchups because there's so many great players. For instance, the first second-round matchups just finished. Beanie Wells as a 5 seed knocked off Craig Krenzel as a 4 seed. So that's what we're talking about. The quarterback of a national championship team is out because people love Beanie so much. So that's where we are at this point in this thing. So it's fun. We watched Marley and Me last night. Have you guys seen Marley and Me, the dog movie?
Familiar.
Dog
haven't seen it.
Behaving. Yeah. It's about a misbehaving dog, and I don't find misbehaving dogs that amusing. I don't want a dog that chews up my stuff. Like, ha-ha, look, your dog ate your couch is not an entertaining movie to me. So Marley and Me went down hard because I like my dog to be better behaved.
That's a good job out of you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, pal.
Bye, fellas.